Hello and welcome to the Natural History Podcast, Episode 1, The Great Divide. England and Scotland. Now, it's not the obvious divide, a nice cup of tea or a can of iron brew. No, there is a much bigger divide, one so vast it splits the UK in two, and very few of us even know anything about it. And no, it's not Brexit either. What is it then? Well, let's dive into the northwest of Scotland, to a place called Knockan Crag. If there were no signposts or even a visitor centre, 99% of people would pass it by. After all, it is just a crag. Big walls of rock don't offer much in the way of entertainment. But to a few educated eyes, this crag represents groundbreaking, quite literally, evidence. Much debate has arisen from this crag, as Knockan Crag is the perfect example of the Moyne Thrust. Other crags are available. So, as the modern visitor, what would you see? At first, the obligatory car park and toilets, which would be a post-glacial deposit. Then we would suit and boot, ice axe and crampons, for the small walk up to the crag. There we see two different coloured rocks. A white band of limestone sitting below a black band of metamorphic rock. Limestone is what the White Cliffs of Dover are made of, basically dead sea creatures. Metamorphic rock is a stone that has been superheated and squashed, and as a result has turned into a different type of rock altogether. Hence the name metamorphic. So, we have these two different types of coloured rock, white limestone and black metamorphic. So what justifies this crag having its very own car park? Well, it's because these rocks have switched places. The older black metamorphic rock is sitting on top of younger white limestone. And this is an anomaly being played out over 100 miles across the whole of the northwest of Scotland. Something, you may have figured out, isn't right. Something is going on. And we can't pin it on magic. Gone are the days of easy answers and exciting tales. Now, logic dictates that the longer something has been lying around, the further at the bottom of the pile it's going to be. Take laundry. The clothes you wore last week are at the bottom of the pile, and the clothes you wore yesterday are at the top. This also happens with rocks. The newest rocks are closer to the surface, and the older rocks are below. This principle is called uniformitarianism. That was quite a mouthful. And uniformitarianism says that we should have the older black metamorphic rocks underneath the newer white limestone at Knockan Crag. However, this was not the case, and in the 19th century, the newly created subject of geology was trying to figure this mystery out. Two of those detectives were touring the northwest of Scotland in 1850. They were called Sir Roderick Murchison and James Nicoll. They were examining the Moyne Thrust, or our upside down rock formation if you prefer, along its 100 mile expanse. We don't know if the pair did visit Knockan Crag, probably not, as there was no car park back then. But Murchison did comment upon it, and through his studying and tour of Scotland, drew the conclusion that, as the black metamorphic rock was on top of the limestone must be older, because of uniformitarianism. Back then, that was a pretty powerful argument. I mean, after all, how does 100 miles worth of rock switch places? For Murchison, this was case closed, feet up, and fire on. However, his travelling companion James Nicoll wasn't so sure. He noticed that the rocks were distressed, cracked, brittle, discoloured. Instead, Nicoll came up with an alternative rather out of their theory. He believed the dark metamorphic rock was actually older than the white limestone, and at some point they switched places. He reckoned the black metamorphic rock cracked and the one half was pushed up and over the back of the white limestone, Any rock on top of a now piggybacking older metamorphic rock would have been eroded away by the weather, resulting in what we see. So, to clarify with cake, it would be a bit like having a sponge cake, cutting it in half and then placing the one half on top of the other, and finishing it off by eating the top layer. What a wonderful theory you have there, Nicole, but how? How did it all happen? Murchison said from his fireside armchair. Well, Nicole didn't really have an explanation for how this happened. He just had a theory. Unfortunately for Nicole, Murchison was an aristocrat with lots of power. So Nicole's theory was binned. It was only after the death of Murchison in 1872 did Nicole's out there idea begin to be discussed more openly. Yet it took another 34 years for Nicole to be vindicated. In 1906, the A-Team of Geology, and they did exist, were sent to Scotland to sort out the matter for once and for all. And they did, proving Nicole's theory was correct. The rocks had indeed switched place. This, as you can imagine, earned Nicole a huge amount of respect, which is a shame because he died 27 years earlier. But he was right. He explained what was going on. It would not be until the 1960s, however, that we would know how this all happened. How on earth have you managed that? My father declared. We were standing in the middle of a woodland in Shropshire. I had led my parents up a hill into woodland, down some well-maintained footpaths and then took a 90-degree turn off into the wilderness of Shropshire. I had no idea where I was heading, but somewhere with a stream or any exposed rock. Within a minute, I found what I was looking for, a very shallow, narrow stream. Perfect. So I knelt down by the water and started pulling the soft stone apart. The rocks were black shale, basically fossilised mud. And the whole area where we were was once a shallow seabed during the Silurian period, which was about 440 million years ago. That's right, you could have once had a beach holiday in Ludlow. It would have been a darn sight warmer too, as the country, England, was 30 degrees south of the equator, about where South Africa is now. But back to the story. I knelt down by the stream and I started to pull the rocks apart. Within a few minutes, victory! I had discovered a trilobite, leading my dad to the opening statement of bemusement. A trilobite is basically an extinct prawn and can be found all over the world in different shapes and sizes. This trilobite was nothing special. It was just a tail end, and quite common. In fact, so common, it has been found all over Wales, Europe, and even as far as Morocco and Libya. Yet if we travel 6 hours north to Scotland, cross over the border, and you will not find this species of trilobite. Nobody ever has, and dare I say, nobody ever will. For the Scottish trilobites of Cambrian to Silurian, which is about 550 to 440 million years ago, are very different from those you find in England and Wales. You won't find a Scottish trilobite elsewhere in Europe. These specimens only occur in Scotland and Canada. Yes, the Scottish and Canadian trilobites are of the same family. And it does seem that even 440 million years ago, the Scottish really wanted nothing to do with the English. But joking apart, how is this? How come a Scottish trilobite never quite made it over the border into England? Or for that fact, how come a trilobite from Europe never quite managed to make it all the way up into Scotland? Maybe there was some kind of natural barrier in the way. Many ideas were thrown out there, but to the early pioneers of paleontology, they just had no idea. It's just a crazy idea. How does an inch-long trilobite manage to cross the Atlantic and then, having reached Scotland, just go, meh, can't be bothered, England's too far? One research paper did outline the fact that the lack of iron brew in England may have played a role. It wasn't until the 1960s did we really start to put the pieces of the puzzle together. For the Moyne thrust and the tail of the trilobites do have a common answer: plate tectonics. The idea that the world's continents moved around and were not stationary was not a new idea, but it wasn't until the 1960s that we started to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I have already mentioned you could have had a beach holiday in Ludlow 440 million years ago, and that is the result of plate tectonics moving. Continents moving around. England, Wales and Southern Ireland were all once on one thin, quite wide microcontinent called Avalonia. Scotland and Northern Ireland were connected to the much larger American continental plate. Newfoundland, to be exact. England and Scotland used to be thousands of miles apart. You could have, at one point, stood on the English border to Scotland and had a swim, built a sandcastle. For the two countries were yet to be connected. In fact, 440 million years ago, Scotland wasn't even within sight. It was divided by a now-vanished extinct ocean of the Iapetus. With no Scotland inside, this does explain our trilobite mystery. We can find the same trilobite in Canada and Scotland, but not in England, because there was an ocean in the way. Scotland was still connected to America. However, all of this changed 410 million years ago, when the two countries first came to blows. The microcontinent of Avalonia, which was Wales, England and Ireland, basically just collided with its behemoth of a neighbour, America. As the two continents were slamming into each other, the force was so great it squeezed the land. And as a result, the Lake District and Snowdonia mountain ranges were created. I say mountain ranges as back then, they were as tall as the Himalayas are now. In Scotland, we see the creation of the Highlands. This event is known as the Caledonian Orogeny. An orogeny is not a night out in Glasgow, but a technical name for the creational building of mountains. The reason the British mountain ranges are now so small is just because they're so old. Over the millions of years, they've just been weathered and eroded away to pretty much nothing. As a general rule, the taller the mountains are, the younger they are. But back to the story. The collision of the two continents created our mountains, but they also explain how the Moyne thrust occurred. The force of compression was so great in Scotland, the ground started to ripple and crack. The black metamorphic rock cracked and was forced over the top of the white limestone, thus creating our Victorian puzzle. It is of no coincidence that the geological border created 410 million years ago is also today's political boundary between England and Scotland. So, when you're next going up to your holiday in the Highlands, just remember, you are not only crossing a political border, but an ancient ocean, and onto a different continent.